We're going to look now at the first reading and perhaps a bit of the psalm. Now, this first reading is from Sirach 3, 17 to 18, and then 20, and then 28 to 29. Now, 17 to 18, you could really call it 17 to 20 because there is no 19. I don't know what happened to it, but it's not there. Even in my Bible here, in the Septuagint text, it goes from 18 to 20. A verse probably fell out, and we won't know what it is till we get to heaven, I guess, unless we find another manuscript. All right. The text goes like this. My child, and the text, the word, technon, child, son, conduct your affairs with humility. And you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Isn't that true? People who are humble and friendly and around, and, you know, we like to be around them. But somebody is always demanding attention and compliment, they can be a drag. So that's what he's pointing out here, you see. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are. And you will find favor with God. Isn't that wonderful? And you will find favor with God. I'll just read it off here. You see, what is too sublime for you, seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Now that's either in English or Greek. It's hard to figure out whether it means the sage is speaking and the wise man is speaking and people are paying attention, and that's a joy to him. And it's hard to tell from the text which it is, huh? The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the joy of the wise. And then, the last in this section here, water quenches a flaming fire, and alms atone for sins. Now, this is so basic in the Bible, that alms, helping the poor, is the way to get your sins forgiven. You don't buy the forgiveness. But let's take a little chance to look at this for a while. The word in Aramaic for sin is hov, H-O-B. So we used to have, remember in the old translation, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It doesn't just mean he owes me 20 bucks and I'm going to let him go. It means I have sinned and I am in debt. How many times does our Lord... Remember that the woman in Magdala, and our Lord is at the Pharisee's table, and this woman comes in and begins to weep at his feet and dry her tears with her hair and anoint his feet, and, you know, and the other guy is shocked. And so Jesus tells this parable, whose overtones would be much more obvious to his interlocutor because of this notion of debt. Sin being a debt. So he says there were two people in debt to somebody. One owed him, you know, 100 bucks, the other owed him 5,000. And he forgave them. Now, who would love him the more? Well, I would think the one to whom he forgave the bigger debt. Yes, that's right. Now, you see this woman here? She's thrilled to death. She's weeping. She's so relieved. She's so happy. Why? Because she knows that her sins are forgiven. She asked for forgiveness and she's got it. Our problem, I'm not quoting Jesus now, I'm quoting us. Our problem is we don't acknowledge our sin. You know, we're trying to, oh, well, you know, I was a little bit distracted. I didn't know what I was doing. Or, well, that other person was annoying me so much. And so we're still in debt. Or you remember the parable that Jesus told about two men owed their ruler money. One owed him, maybe say, let's $10,000. And the other owed him the national debt. And he wrote it off, this national debt. And that guy turned around to somebody else and said, pay what you owe, you'll have to go to debtor's prison, which means go to jail and stay there till your family pays off the debt. And then the ruler finds out about that. He says, I wrote off the national debt for you. You can't write off $5,000? What's wrong with you? You see? So that's this notion here, you see, of debt. You will be loved more than a giver of gifts because you're forgiving. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. Now, what is too sublime for you, seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. And that can happen. I am going to solve this question of predestination once and for all. And 20 years later, you're nuts and you're no closer to, because you don't have the equipment. You know, Lord, do those things that the Lord commissions you to do. But don't try to get around, you know, into stuff that's beyond you. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs. That's the way that that's translated, you see? And the text says, you know, that the cardia sine tu dianothisite parabolina appreciates. Yeah, that's a good word, I guess, for that. And an attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Now, that's an interesting one, because does he mean that somebody listening to a wise man and paying attention is a joy to the wise man? Or does it mean that the Lord's given him an attentive ear, so he's always listening and hearing well, and that's a joy for him? That means he's humble. And then finally, the last one in that section is, water quenches a flaming fire, and alms atone for sins. This is so basic to Old Testament spirituality, and it ought to be basic in New Testament spirituality. A friend of mine has been doing a lot of work on alms and almsgiving, and he's written some articles. I'm hoping he's going to come out with a book on it. See, because almsgiving means I part with stuff that I could use. And I part with it. And as I do that, you see, if I'm going to help somebody, well, the Lord's going to help me. He'll write off my debt. That's just good business. See, if I forgive, I'll be forgiven, right? The Lord says that. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and you'll receive, pressed down, running over. He's not fooling. If we can be generous and forgiving, you see, and generous with our physical reality as well, our money and so forth, you see. I think I've mentioned this a couple of times, but it strikes me. The text in Luke says, unless a man renounces all he has, he can't be my disciple. And I had to preach on that on a Sunday morning. I think it's Luke 7. I'm driving up there saying, Lord, I can't duck it. I just can't say, skip it. You know, we'll go from this line to the skip that and go, I mean, that's not honest. You said it, and it's supposed to be read out to the people today. What am I going to say? I mean, they've got children. They've got, you know, a house. How can they do this? Renounce everything. He said, look, what I mean is this. I know they have children. They have to clothe and feed and educate. I know that. That's their vocation. I know they've got a mortgage they have to pay off, or they won't have a house for their family. What I'm saying is this. To renounce it all means give me authority over it. Come to me and ask me how you're supposed to use your wealth, as little or great as it might be, and I'll tell you. And you can trust me. I love you and I love your family. But don't keep control of it, because that's how you keep your heart closed to me. You see? But once you surrender your money and let me direct you, you're a free person. And then you're a disciple. I was so grateful for that. because when I was preaching, I didn't have to skip it. And, you know, I don't know what to say about this, and so I better skip it. I had something very positive to say about it, which I think helped people a lot, but it wasn't from me, it was from the Lord, as I was driving up to the parish. You see, it's that kind of a thing that our Lord's talking about here, you see? And water quenches a flaming fire, and alms atone for sins. If we give alms, if we help the poor, you see, we are wiping out our sins, because our sins are debts to God. And that's why I say, how many of our Lord's parables about forgiveness have to do with somebody in debt? The one I just told you about that happened in Magdala. When the woman came into the party. Or when Peter said, how many times do I have to forgive this guy? And Jesus says, seven? Peter thought that was a lot. And our Lord said, no, Peter, 70, 70, 77s. And then he tells a story about the guy who owed that national debt. Do you see? We need almsgiving in forgiveness and almsgiving in money. We have to do both. And if we do, believe me, it's just good business, because it means that our sins are forgiven. And that's beautiful, isn't it? And so, that's this idea of humility. I badly need to have my debts forgiven, my debts written off. And I know that. And I'm not going to forget that. And I'll be so grateful to God because by the blood of His Son, He's pardoned all my sins. Now, I'm going to do that. Not only pardon those who have offended me, but, you know, let all people who don't have enough money to pay me back, certainly forgive those who have done anything. And that's the underlying message of that Sirach text. Now, the psalm, we have just a moment for it before we move on to the second reading. The just rejoice and exult before God. They are glad and rejoice. Sing to God, chant praise to His name, whose name is the Lord. Why? Now the next verse describes Him. God is the Father of orphans and the defender of widows. These are the most vulnerable in every society. A child with no father to protect him, a woman with no husband, trying to raise her children by herself. She stays home to raise them, or she goes out to work. She's caught both ways, right? So He is the Father of orphans and the defender of widows. God gives a home to the forsaken. He leads forth prisoners to prosperity. God does these things, and we should imitate Him. You see? A bountiful rain you shower down, O God, upon your inheritance. You restored the land when it languished. Your flock settled in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. Now do you see that along with humility goes generosity? Because both pride and avarice are totally self-centered. I can't let go of my time, my money. I might need it. You see? And I certainly want nothing but recognition. I want nobody to think little of me. And I'm alert, I'll fall apart. We won't fall apart if we know we're loved by Jesus. We'll be okay. And that's what the rule of St. Benedict was saying, right? Always walk in the presence of God and you'll be all right. Even if they insult you, you'll be all right. And so, that's the meaning of this section of our reading, generosity and forgiveness. Okay.